Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Black Friday, wow, shop, Wayfair now, month long, big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best gift in core, Black Friday score.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets, better view. Everything home, these things in chrome. Hands up for clock, area roads, fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the, win the season.
Wayfair, 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 Wayfair.
How much do you think that social media has helped? Has it saved bookstores? Has it saved Barnes & Noble?
Like, you can't actually change that to a digital form and get the same value out of it.
And there's some sort of resurgence in bookstore sales. Can bookstores survive? Can we survive?
Da, 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 da.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Tutor Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
I'm your other host, Richard.
Can bookstores even compete? That's the question we're asking today. Physical bookstores, independent local bookstores in your Barnes & Noble. We're going to talk about the range from all the way to your small to your large mega stores. Do they have a place? Are they going to be around much longer? We did some research, and we have some stats to bring up. A lot of more opinions than stats of what we think is the future of bookstores, especially with the online age.
Now, there are, I think, two inherent questions here. I attempted to look more into physical versus ebook sales, like digital physical. Like, can physical bookstores even compete? However, I will express my frustration here along that actual clear numbers of market share is really hard to come by. There are plenty of studies out there, but they don't really show a lot of sources where they get these numbers, what is included. Like, so if you just look up market shares of ebooks versus physical, you'll get numbers. Generally, it's somewhere around 20% is the, I think, general estimate around. However, I can't verify any of that because most of it doesn't even include, like, okay, where are those numbers coming from? Doesn't include Amazon sales. I don't know. So there are other things we can talk about specifically of like, if it was true that ebook sales were on there, especially when they were introduced and on the rise and as they were growing more in popularity, hypothetically, if that was a linear line, we would see a significant decline in physical book sales. The fact that we have not, and that's not necessarily the case, is evidence that ebooks are not going to take over physical books. It seems to have met some sort of cap. But again, we're going to be going more into speculation here and reasons why we think that may be, rather than specifically hard numbers, because they don't really exist, or at least I am not qualified to be able to explain them very well.
You are qualified as a local bookstore owner.
Oh, God.
Sorry, water. We're good.
How?
You are. I think you have enough books behind us here. This qualifies as a fantasy sci-fi bookstore. I think that once
I
you
could
have
sell something here,
once you have over, let's say, 200 books, you're a registered business.
Now this all this means is I need to actually start selling my library.
You would never.
No, never.
Okay. So,
the thing that you mostly researched.
Yeah, the first thing I looked into that I was interested in, this idea came about for, hey, can bookstores compete? I was thinking back to Borders. If anybody remembers, if you're old enough like us, wow, we can almost say that. We're almost there. If you're old enough like us, where you remember going to Borders as a kid or as a teen, as an adult, however old you are, Borders was this mega bookstore like Barnes & Noble. That started
nearly identical.
Started in 1971, But Kohl's went bankrupt in 2011. So it lasted 40 years, but there's this mega bookstore. They were everywhere. I loved going to Borders. I remember going to my with my dad in the mall. Every time we go to the mall, we'd go to Borders all the time. And there wasn't a Barnes & Noble in there, I think, so Borders had it. I was always curious then, why did they actually shut down? Do you know anything about it? Any background, any cursory knowledge at all?
Not any significant knowledge.
So it came up with a couple different reasons of why Borders shut down. And again, the reason was that I was looking into this because we're trying to come up with our opinion, Rich and I's opinion here of will bookstores, physical bookstores, especially independent and the larger ones, which ones will stay, which ones will go, right? Mm-hmm. So Borders, the reason that they ended up going bankrupt and shutting down, the TLDR, the too long don't read version, is they did not adapt with the times. They did not change with the times or look for, we're not forward thinking enough. So for Borders, although they closed in 2011, they hadn't had a profitable year since 2006. So they were already on the decline. They went heavy into CD music sales and DVD as the industry was going digital. So that was one thing already. As things were going digital, they were doing CDs and DVDs. They also, a big problem is they outsourced their online sales operation to Amazon from, I believe, the years 2001 to 2008. Don't quote me because I think I saw one different year on another site, but they outsourced their online sales to Amazon. So when people would go to Borders to find a book, then they would go online, maybe not buy the book physically, they'd go online to buy it. Well, they would get it on Amazon. So that was a big part of their problem. They literally outsourced that to Amazon. Big, big problem there. And another big thing, they were kind of late to the e-reader market where you had Kindle released 2007, Nook 2009, iPad 2010. The Kobo, their Kobo came out in 2010 or so. But mainly they were behind the trend with everything.
I do want to clarify, is this something I didn't know? They are the ones behind Kobo.
They were a part of Kobo. No longer, though. But Kobo is now, they were investing or of some sorts. They were involved in Kobo. And so all of this included, Borders ended up not making any sort of profit because they just did not adapt with the times at all. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other, so Amazon was starting to take a larger market share. People were buying online more and not, whereas Barnes & Noble was keeping up more than Borders was because they were adapting with the more online digital age.
They also adapted in another way that I know that for a while, even despite them trying to adapt to the digital age with the Nook and focusing on online sales, something that was a significant problem for them before is they had more of a national strategy in terms of like what books that they're selling. They moved a bit more toward localized and gave far more autonomy to individual locations to actually determine the book selection, which had a significant increase in sales because
by going individual.
Yes, that was always. For Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's actually something that happened more recently because Barnes & Noble, they were on the decline for a bit. The revenue was declining. I think they got acquired in 2019, so I don't think the revenue is available, at least the last couple years' data since then. But Barnes & Noble was losing stores constantly. However, more recently in the past couple years, they're now adding stores where we have over 60 new locations in 2025. Over 57 new stores were in 2024, and that's after prior years where they were losing stores. And the new company that acquired them in 2019 changed strategies. So initially, to save costs and everything, they would have all Barnes & Nobles just have the same, look the same, have the same supplies for the most part. There's some differences. But like you said, instead, what they're doing now is each bookstore works a bit more independently on their own, where the bookstore staff will now pick certain books that, like some of the bookstore staff, they can pick what's your buy one, get one free shelf. Mm-hmm. They'll have a shelf that if you're in an area that loves Westerns, here's a Western area.
Barnes & Noble has all for a long time has always had those curated like tables where the owners and people that are working at Barnes & Noble would have a curated list of recommended books. Mm-hmm. That's been there a while, but they went a step further and actually had more decision over what's kept on the shelves as well, which I know it may not seem that way, but that's very much a lot closer to the Walmart model. big reason for Walmart's success is keeping in controlling inventory on an individual store basis and using data to actually make sure they keep just the right amount of products at individual locations and not overstocking or understocking across nation. So they, you know, don't paint with too broad of a brush. And it seems to be the same thing with what Barnes & Noble's doing.
Yeah, maybe a playbook out of Walmart. Also, a playbook out of independent bookstores. The local bookstores do function like that because they don't have a large chain. Yeah, the local bookstores have to tailor to the local community.
Mm-hmm.
That they know the community as well. So Barnes & Noble is going, well, who knows the local readers best other than who's working at that Barnes & Noble and the management there. Side effect could be you could have bad management, but that's another problem on its own. But for Barnes & Noble's sake, that's why you saw more recently manga taking up more and more shelves, because that's serving the reader base there. And you're also seeing more partnerships, like you see the Book Talk table, where they're partnering with Book Talk and online communities, where the Book Talk can host events at certain Barnes & Nobles and Barnes & Noble will feature Book Talk features, books and so forth, and advertise them. How much do you think that social media has helped? Has it saved bookstores? Has it saved Barnes & Noble? Because I guess we brushed over this a little bit, but basically there was a big... Barnes & Noble was declining, pandemic hits, and now past couple years, it seems that it's, again, stores are increasing a little bit, and there's some sort of resurgence in bookstore sales.
I think it is relevant to say that after, you know, many, many years of decline, they did see a significant spike in their stock price in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, to this day, they were continue. It's general decline still, despite fairly recently of opening up new stores. Fairly positive news in terms of revenue and their profitability as a business. Their stock price still does seem to decline on a downward trajectory. So that's still the case. They have not reached their 2021 peak again. But that's relevant. As far as social media, it's probably a factor. It's probably significant. I don't know if social media has saved Barnes & Noble. I don't know if I would go that far.
Is your opinion that our question here is, can bookstores even survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Will bookstores always be present, or will it just change drastically from how we see them now?
Overall, I don't see much. I don't think it'll even drastically change. I think we'll see changes, but I think there is ultimately a cap on digital book sales. As time goes on, I think even trends with, there's even real dumb Gen Z trends of, apparently a lot of Gen Zers are not using, they're trying to avoid doom scrolling. They do, there was this dumb term my coworker mentioned, and again, she wasn't saying it. She was saying it unironically. She said it ironically, like mentioning it to me.
I need to know.
What was it? Analog bagging? Like analog bag, which was basically, instead of doom scrolling, actually doing crossword and Sudoku book puzzles, like analog stuff. That is a trend. Which the fact that is a term is
sad. Catch me at the speed again. So analog bagging is
they have a bag and they have a Sudoku book or crossword book that they use instead of doom scrolling on their phone.
Okay.
That is the again, good trend of like, hey, getting away from the screen that's nice, but
yeah,
to call it that is just very cringe. But point being,
by the way, you are Gen Z, right?
Yes. I know.
These damn youngins and their computers.
I can complain. I can complain about my own generation's
usually terminology. Usually I'm more hip with the trends and the terms. I haven't heard that yet. That's wow.
Yeah. I didn't either. I wish I didn't.
Are you proud that you got it before me? How does that make you feel?
Worse, terrible. I'm just glad I didn't find it organically.
It was forced upon you.
It was forced upon me, but beside the point. The reason why I don't think physical bookstores will ever go away is the aesthetic of it. There is a genuine value that cannot be replicated by going into a place surrounded by physical books and then cycling through and like, ooh, which book is it? And then picking up a book and then flip it to the first page and seeing if you like it. Like, that is not recyclable. Like, you can't actually change that to a digital form and get the same value out of it. I don't think it's going to be possible.
The atmosphere.
Yeah.
The vibes. It's something that people romanticize too. It's always nice and fun. I love going to bookstores. I have a rule when I go to a bookstore, I always must buy a book.
Yeah.
Always. Have to buy one.
That's also another factor. If online sales, this is generally true almost across the board. Physical locations will get additional sales than online. If you are buying things online, there are people that, you know, have a problem with online shopping and just add too many things to the cart and shop. However, general trends is if you're online shopping, you're more specific with what you purchase. You get what you need. Maybe you buy a couple other things, but that's not the same case in physical stores.
Absolutely,
physical stores will you go to the store for milk, you buy, you know,
Kung
Pao
milk.
Chicken, you buy cheeses, you buy all these things that you didn't go in there intending to buy because you're at the location and you were browsing. Websites try to replicate this, but not to the same effect. It's the same thing with bookstores. If I'm buying a book on Amazon, I'm buying the book. Maybe I'm buying a second book. Maybe I'm tempted by the page and something pops up and shows me. But generally,
way more targeted. Yeah,
I'm going to look up the book I want. I'm going to get that book. I go to Barnes & Noble. I go to a physical bookstore. I'm almost never buying the one book I went in there to look for.
Mm.
Oftentimes, I go in there looking for a book. They don't have it. I buy three different books. I think that alone is justification for a bookstore still remaining viable into the future.
Mm. Yeah. And what do you think about the larger Barnes & Nobles versus the local bookstores of will both still exist in their current form or will one consume the other? The reason I asked that too is because Borders went out of business partly because of Amazon and a bigger fish. Barnes & Noble was able to survive that. They adapted. Is Barnes & Noble the bigger fish? What are your opinions on that? Because some give Barnes & Noble more of a bad rap, support your local bookstores rather than Barnes & Noble. Others say, hey, Barnes & Noble is the small fish in this fry. What stance do you take?
This will be the more hot take. I know everyone likes to say, hey, local bookstore is better than the bigger corporation. However, my personal experience, there are some individual local bookstores that are neat, but my general experience has been mostly negative, that I will go to a small bookstore, and those are the bookstores that I will often buy nothing because they just don't have anything of interest for me. Of like, I do browse through the whole bookstore. I'm like, I don't want a single thing here.
Like, the fantasy section is literally a fantasy. It's like, pretend it's there.
Yeah.
Just kind of go in and imagine there's like a fantasy section right there. And oh, yeah, imagine real hard.
Yeah. The one advantage small bookstores, like little tiny local bookstores have, is everything around it. There's a particular bookstore in Virginia that I really, really enjoyed that the focus of it is they had this bookstore, but they also had for families, they had this great children's section, reading area. They get folks targeted toward kids. But the thing that was important for me is they had a little cafe wine area. And so you could actually get a glass of wine and read your book on this like nice air, like sitting area, patio, outdoor. Like, it was, the vibe around it was great. I would go there for the experience of reading there. I enjoyed that quite a bit. Guess what they did?
Hmm.
They took out the cafe and the wine section.
That's right.
They are now the bookstore. Yep. And I go in there and go, you know, you took out this big, large cafe part. I would expect the book section would be bigger, you know? No, not significantly bigger. They just...
Rule 101 with marketing. If you're taking something away, give.
Yeah.
Give a little bit, you know, add. Be like, hey, look, this isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. When we dropped our merch, remember we dropped our merch, we said, you know what? We're doing two videos a week now. So we're like, hey, don't just give us money.
We're also doing
two videos. The reason we haven't done more merch is we can't do three videos. We can't offer anything else.
We can't.
We're doing this.
We should have done a merch drop when we added the monthly lives.
We should have.
That would have been the time.
Take advantage of every single...
Because we can't add more.
We've got the two to reel. We have a movie channel now, too, which check that out if you want to. So we're also doing those videos. We love doing it. It's just we physically can't schedule in more time, which is why you should support us on Patreon, where you can join our monthly book club in the link in the description below, where we go over a book every single month. This month was Between Two Fires, but next month you can vote on it. Go check it out there. Now,
was the most ad read voice I've ever heard out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Can bookstores survive? Can we survive? Okay.
Can we survive in this new influencer landscape?
Now, that's the question, too, of... How I was asking the question before of how much does social media help bookstores, da da da. Do you genuinely think BookTok or BookTube has more of a influence on, and I know you hate to admit it.
I hate to admit it, but
it's a leading question. Yeah, it's a leading question.
I hate to admit it, but the evidence in front of my eyes, BookTok, of course, has more influence than BookTube.
Which we are on.
Yeah, we're there.
It's clips from the podcast.
But we are book YouTubers first rather than book talkers.
Yes, it is just a different so we can have a higher prestige. Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason we call ourselves a podcast is we're not just booktubers, we're podcasters on BookTube. We're upper echelon.
both pond scum, but we like to, you know, we're at the top of the pond scum.
Yeah.
That's how we like to view ourselves.
That works.
Nah, we're all there. We're all bottom feeders, but it's fine. But no, BookTok, of course.
Yes,
BookTok moves sales, significant sales. Of like YouTube, like the most recent example I can think of BookTube actually fundamentally altering sales for an author is Sun Eater. It's the thing that comes right off the top of my head of Barnes & Noble and like the publishers ran out of copies. Like they... With Daniel Green, especially, but first Mike's Book Reviews, but then after Daniel Green reviewed the Empire of Silence, the book sold out. And it was a couple months before they actually got significant stock back in there, but they had to go through a whole reprinting. Mm-hmm. Like that fundamentally changed book.
Yeah.
But BookTok does that all the time. Like books sell out all the time on there. Like it does push so many people to buy.
It does.
So
it's hard to know the exact number. I was looking at a Forbes article that made me throw my brows. Okay, if anybody looks in the stats, there's the holidays are coming up fast and it's time to shop, but actually have some fun doing it.
Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else.
On uncommongoods.com, they provide art, games, books, DIY kits, home accents, and all sorts of accessories. What makes them unique is that about half of their assortment is handmade by independent artists and artisans.
Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. For moms, dads, teens, from book lovers to history buffs, to anyone who hit their quarter-life crisis and started running marathons.
Excuse me. Okay, well, that's my better half, Nicole. She's one of those marathon runners, and I got her a gift from the site. I ordered this custom metal holder for all the races she completes, where there's also a place to put her personal records on there. I'd never seen custom-built case like this before, and so I got her the gift, and I'm gonna surprise her with it.
Yeah. Hey, every time you purchase something from Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Also, every purchase you make, Uncommon Goods gives $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice.
So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off of your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/2toramble. That's uncommongoods.com/2toramble for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Correlation does not equal causation. Right, that it's very hard to figure out what is what is the cause. You have to find it, it just because the two things are line up and are correlated doesn't mean this caused that. So, for example, in they said so bookstore sales went up 14% in 2020, conveniently when Book Talk started. And in my head, I'm going, well, also didn't COVID hit then and people were indoors more? So I'm going, can you attribute the 14% increase in sales to Book Talk? No, I'm going to guess there's other causes such as everybody being indoors and, you know, reading more.
Especially, and I think further evidence
and again, that's is a that, guess, though,
that spike, which is seen in Barnes & Noble stock price starting to rise in 2020 and then 2021 being the peak, but then falling off. Well, guess what? Book Talk is still here. It's as big as ever. Like it hasn't really shrunk significantly.
It shows the data points probably COVID because, hey, when COVID, then the sales started to.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would say that evidence is definitely more correlated rather than a cause.
Yes. Yeah. For that case. Yeah. And so I was looking into a little bit of independent bookstores to the local ones in comparison to your BNN and so forth. And I have some stats. Don't take these. I'm going to put the links down below. Don't take these as the answers completely. These numbers are, I'll give the sources after I read these off, but it was looking at profit margins for bookstores and why it's hard to compete against online. Okay, so bookstore profit margins, they've remained relatively steady over the last 5 years or so, and they get about 2-10% of profit margins for independent bookstores. In comparison, though, online retailers, they get margins of 45-70%. Now, big reason for this is in-person retail store, you obviously have a lot more costs involved. Physical stores, you have rent, staffing, etc. That's just, you have a lot of overhead, which in online stores, way less overhead. AWS, get a server, do something. Just less involved. Now, honestly, a big reason why our podcast, for example, we had other things we wanted to do together. We love making pasta. We were like, hey, do we make this pasta company? I don't know if you've seen our lore, listened to our podcast before, but we were going to have a company called Impossibly Good. The overhead and the barrier to entry to that was difficult to navigate, where it was hard to overcome food cottage laws of making it work and also getting the infrastructure and making sure we passed codes. And wow, what could we post videos is easy.
We're not allowed to poison the local community.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
What the hell? Like,
come on. Don't... We just wanted to yeah, they're there for a reason. instead, we poison the global community.
Yeah, we're poisoning the minds of the youths.
Wait, doesn't that say something about society? Like, hey, let's make sure you don't poison people with food and make sure your food cottage laws of don't put any type of don't put needles inside this pasta. Yeah. But we can put needles and slithers inside our words.
Yeah.
And corrupt these. Ooh, Socrates, yeah.
Again, do you you're right. Freedom of speech is, no one should have freedom of speech.
Right, just end it.
End it completely. People should only say things that I agree with.
Freedom of my speech.
Freedom of my speech and not yours.
Nerd.
I appeal to freedom when you are in power because that is a principle of yours. I take away your freedom when I am in power because that is my principle.
We should just go on to other... Oh, yeah, he said that. Oh, nice, nice quote. Yes.
I butchered that quote. I still love that. That is a brilliant, brilliant piece of, brilliant line there. But
we can go on to other BookTubers. Anytime we watch a video, we only comment yes or no, whether we allow it. We see a new BookBorn video? Yeah.
Yes.
Another one? No.
Approved or just
Rambler approved.
Remove it. Denied.
You're like, what?
We are the gatekeepers of BookTube.
Not allowed. What do you mean not allowed?
No, we control the gates. No one, everything must pass through us.
Oh, God. Okay, so some more stats for independent bookstores. is approximately 60 to 70% of independent bookstores report consistent annual profits. Pretty good. So a majority report this. And on average, 70 to 80% of bookstore revenue comes from book sales. Good. The majority. Both new and used. However, complimentary products like your stationery, your gifts, your cafe offerings, that's 20 to 30%.
Yeah.
So it's usually how it'll be broken down. About two-thirds is books, about one-third. That's why you see other stuff like board games and coffee and whatever in bookstores, and especially Barnes & Nobles, you see those as well. Mm-hmm. And stores that offer cafes or stationery products, they can actually see as much as 30 to 50% of their profits coming from non-book sales if they add more of that stuff. So it can get up to half if you expand a lot like that. Which, I guess, what's your opinion on that with a bookstore? You like the cozy area it had, for example, in the one bookstore you like to go to. Cafes make so much sense next to a bookstore. It's just so adjacent. Is there anything that you think you've been to a bookstore that doesn't mesh with the vibe of this is what I expect to see, and they're going a little bit out of the ballpark?
I think all of it. All the bookstores in the United States have a certain... This is going off the beaten path, I guess. It is profitable to have the cafes, to add the board games, to have the music, the manga, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. However, I thought that was all very nice until I was on a vacation with my dad, and part of this was I was in Oxford and in England. And I got to go to many of the bookstores. There's a lot of bookstores in Oxford, by the way. Tons.
Nice.
And I felt like in a different world. If I felt incredibly jealous. The best bookstore experience ever.
Why?
They're nooks. They're just the most, one, gorgeous looking buildings that you go down this weird little alleyway down to the hall, and then there's this just magical type of bookstore. Like, it feels like, you know the scene in like Harry Potter? Where they're like Diagon Alley and they're like going through the Wizarding World shop. Like, that's what it felt like. But books, and it was wonderful. It was only books. They only had books. Even the fancy, more established bookstores was just books. That's all it was. And I loved it.
And then did you ever get thirsty and wish, I wish I had a coffee?
No. I was just there for books. I was hyper-focused. And the vibe, the ambiance, the variety of different bookstores. There was the smell, everything was actually there's one bookstore that had books, but also had very old maps of different things. They were selling these like ancient maps. I can't imagine that being profitable. That's not a profitable business model. It would make more sense to sell board games.
That's like our business model of like we're posting book reviews of like the most niche books.
Yeah.
Who's watching that? But it's not, hey, video's not going to do so well, but it's homey.
Yeah.
It feels like you're at home, right?
I respect the game. Like, that is not profitable. But
my only hope is people look at some of those feelings and go, like, wow, they really have no self-respect. They'll do anything. Like, no, not in that way.
Say, like, oh, they actually have passion.
Yeah, that's the hope. Yeah.
The hope is that someone looks at our channel and goes, hey, not every single video of theirs is top 10 list or tier. Like, we do tier listing sometimes, but we also do...
We're the local bookstore. We're not
small
we're not,
miracles. Yeah,
we're the local. We're not the BNN. We're not the Amazon. We're local. Come on in.
I aspire to that. Like, passion is important, and that's what I got in Oxford. It's like those bookstores had passion, history.
That's fun.
And the variety of, like, there's the mainstream. There's the more classical. There's the just bookstore where there's a bunch of old books that are just stacked high, like to the ceiling. And you just kind of have to, like, you hope you don't knock over the big stack of books on you. And you're like shimming your way through stacks of books and like you're finding a little ancient treasure. I loved it.
Something about the Dewey Decimal System turns me on. Just wanted to go into a book.
Oh, yeah. The opposite for me. There was no organization. It's just piles of books. You don't know what you're going to find.
That's wild. That's chaotic energy.
It was.
Ooh, I don't know if I can handle.
I'll have to show you pictures of this store. It's amazing. I loved it.
I could subscribe to that. I'd have to see.
Yeah.
I'd have to see.
I'll show you pictures after this.
Because it could get annoying for me if I'm going book after book and just nothing. But it could be a discovery. Okay, yeah. I could see the appeal.
I also do want to express my tragedy of the reason I went to Oxford in the first place was I wanted to go to Tolkien's pub where he would have his...
Did you?
I walked outside, but guess what? COVID. Because of COVID, the goddamn pub closed up shop and never recovered.
Okay, you told me this story. I forgot about this story. You told me this years ago.
That hurt a lot. They're now gonna like.
I remember
they sold it off to like some bed and breakfast. Is like they're gonna put hotel rooms in it or something. And
don't do that. History is there. Tolkien drank there.
That's honestly their own research project. If COVID killed so many historical pubs in England. Like, England is famous for their, like, pubs that are hundreds of years old. Like, passed down family to generation, like, has survived so many different, survived world wars and couldn't survive COVID. That's how tragic it is.
Talking about passing down, this came across my feed the other day. I was seeing somebody recommending how cool it would be to have a Minecraft world and then have that Minecraft world that you're working on. And then you work on it with your kids. You pass it down to your kids, then work on it, pass it down to their kids, and have a Minecraft world that you just keep passing down. And they get to discover ancient ruins and things that dad or granddad built. And somebody goes, wait, isn't that just real life? Like, yeah, kind
of. Instead of making Minecraft lore, you should do like real lore.
Make a real bookstore. However, as the Minecraft nerd, that was my favorite game ever growing up.
Yeah.
Kind of a sick idea. Kind of cool.
Can imagine you as a father of like instead of focusing on creating the dad lore, which is important for every father.
Of course, it is.
Every father needs to have the dad lore.
My dad's lore is, hey, I had a podcast.
Yeah,
like, oh, that's lame.
Oh, my dad has the best dad.
He does have great
dad lore. The fact that I'm 27 and occasionally my dad will just like drop something of like, how the hell did that not ever come up in conversation?
You were shot at how many times? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. My dad has a few too many stories of like nearly getting shot at stories and apparently like more than one. That's, yeah. I aspire to that level of dad lore that I know I'll never reach. I hope I can attain a fraction of my dad's dad lore. You, on the other hand, are going to go for the Minecraft lore. Hyper-focus of my kids may not have great stories of their dad, but they're going to have great stories of this Minecraft world.
I'm going to build something so meaningful to my great-great-grandkid, something there that's there, and then it's just going to be like a trap where they die. Like, ah, you got pranked. Good old dad jokes. Ah.
To loop this conversation all the way back around of the legacy of these bookstores, will they survive in the modern era? I was saying that I do believe that they will survive. I think bookstores do have a place that cannot be replaced by the digital. And I think other trends in other aspects of our digital world show that people have an aversion, or at least cautious, and they don't want to go fully digital. There is an aversion to that. People do like the physical world, are worried about the rental economy type of deal. I don't think the physical bookstore will go away. What about you?
Absolutely not.
Do you think it will significantly change? That's the other question.
I think we'll get some more creative additions. Where you talking about the Oxford Library. Remind me of my favorite bookstore I've ever been to. It's a bit of the opposite of that. We went there together. It was in Iceland.
That was a good bookstore.
It was fantastic because they had a coffee shop, same normal thing. But what drew us to the bookstore was, one, it was the only one in the area, really. But two, we hear music blaring out of it. And as soon as we walk in on the bottom floor of the bookstore, it's a live band.
Go against the general principle.
Completely opposite of going to the bookstore, getting that atmosphere. What is this? And they had an upstairs where you could look in books and sit down, drink, and watch the band. It was a bookstore, definitely, but it was not like no bookstore that I'd been to before. I really liked, though, that it was a unique experience of, oh, that, what Barnes & Noble is doing with you know, making each local bookstore a bit, hey, selecting books that this locale would like, or what local bookstores actually do is tailoring to the needs of the community, whatever the community tends to read, if there's more manga, Western, whatever. I hope that bookstores go in the direction of, when I go to a different city, like very different, I want to go to Oxford and see Things in a Mess or whatever it is. I want to see abandoned one. I want to go to another and it's escape room bookstore.
Yeah.
You have to find your way out. Now, a labyrinth. I want such unique. I want every locale to have something like, oh, did you see the bookstore in Memphis? The Memphis bookstore? It should be memorable. You want to go to a place, and places, like we were saying with it, talking about Tolkien's pub, places have memory and a history to them, just the presence of it. And the more you can get attached to the place, ooh, the better.
I do have an important question for you, though.
Yes.
At the bookstore that you really liked in Iceland,
I bought nothing.
Did you buy a book?
I bought nothing. No, I was focused on the band. Yep. Not a single book.
One mental problem. I also did not buy a book at that bookstore.
It was fun to listen to the band, though.
Guess how many books I bought at Oxford?
A lot.
I had to buy a separate suitcase. I bought a new suitcase to fit all the books that I bought.
Damn.
I bought a lot of books. Also, best place to buy my Terry Pratchett books. I love Pratchett's comp. Like, they're... his legacy and how they, like, his special editions. Like, I bought it. Each one of their books was, I think, £11 for a special edition Terry Pratchett. Lovely. Ah, affordable.
People's author.
The people's author. People's special edition. I loved it. But yeah, I bought so many of
them. And that's them right there, right?
A good chunk of them.
Good chunk of them right here.
It. What?
It, can kind of see
did
it.
Did I?
No, yep, am right, I? Right behind your microphone. If you hear.
There we go. I'm pointing correctly.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very cool. But yes, I think they're going to be here to say, just like movie theaters, I think it's the unique human experience. Actually, with AI and with technology getting so advanced, I think there's not going to just be a nostalgia, but a desperate need for humans to crave these spaces and communities. Sure, there's going to be trends every now and then of... thing, it might change and look different. Sure, we don't have as many drive-in movies, but yet again, some places do. But local bookstores, I think, will always be a thing.
There's a human need for that actual connection and the communal experience for people. It's a frustration with mine of consumerism culture, of like the focus is on the thing and like, oh, what do you like? Focus on consuming the product rather than the experience of it, and that what is consuming products is fine, it can be enjoyable, we all consume things, but the experience around it is, I would say, more important. The experience going to a bookstore is oftentimes just as enjoyable as the actual getting the book itself.
Agreed.
And so, and same thing with movies. So many different movies, like watching movies alone by yourself at home, not nearly as fun, not nearly as enjoyable as going to the movie theater with your friends. And that is an experience that can't be just, yes, I can consume product in more efficient manner. I don't think that'll ever go away. It may hurt. It may, you know, we'll see the dip as we currently do, but eliminated completely? No.
What's a better experience? What makes a better story?
Yeah.
You're going to read or watch a story. Well, what's a better experience?
They serve a human need that doesn't, that cannot be replicated by technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could we be proven wrong? Let us know.
Time will tell. What are your thoughts?
Who knows? Maybe the metaverse is going to create like those VR bookstores, and you could, when you pick Ready up Player a book One. From it, it's going to be sent to your house, and like that's how you're gonna buy it, is you're gonna go to the VR Meta store. Yeah, that sounds awful.
Amish were right, weren't they? We should have stopped at the buggy.
Yeah, the buggy, you know, like
that's where it all went downhill.
Yeah, I like electric lights, but other than that, like everything else,
actually laundry, it's pretty convenient.
Also cars,
air conditioning.
Also, the electric saxophone, that was pretty important. Yep. That's necessary, really.
Electric.
Yeah. Best way to practice the saxophone in a, communal apartment complex.
Electric? Yeah. So it's not too loud.
It's not any sound.
Because it goes into your headphones.
Yes. Yes. That's the great part. We got a little off topic here, but ultimately, hey, the digital will not replace us. We are physical beings that require aesthetic things.
Yeah.
We like the experience. Bookstores will not go away. The digital, the AI will not replace us.
We owe a lot of the credit to the success of this podcast, just the fact that we're in the same room.
Yeah, true.
It really does mean a lot. I know there's a lot of other podcasts where it's two people talking over a screen, and even that's a little different. I think that does attribute to some of the success. Maybe a large part of the success is you just have two people in the same room already adds to how real of a conversation we're having. As sad as that sounds, people know that, hey, we're even looking at each other, going, hey, like, that's another thing too.
We don't get physical on it. Like, I should be able to punch you if I don't like your opinion. We don't. But the fact that I can,
is good. That's important because, as you know from social media, you're able to say things online, even to your friends online, because there's a screen barrier wall. We have so many issues because there's what's the term I'm looking for? I say it all the time. We say it all the time. Of it's like an anxious generation when we read it. It's
you're not meaning parasocial. You're
no.
The social, like, social consequence from physical interaction.
Yeah, but what's the word I'm looking for? There's a word for that. An easy thing to explain of the reason you don't say things. It's gonna bug me. Hold on, cut real quick. Disembodied.
Ah,
disembodied. Okay. That's what I was looking for. It's low bar for entry, low barrier for entry, and it's disembodied. We're bodied right here of, hey, you can touch each other. It's disembodied and a low barrier to, like, entry, so the consequence there is very low because you're not physically present. That was the term.
The digital will replace us. Ebooks are here, but they are not going to remove us. Bookstores will survive. We've declared it. We know it is true. Let us know what you think down below in the comments.
Comments literally approved or rejected, just like we will on videos as well. Let us know.
Bye, everyone.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.